01419511025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a midweek of European action for Celtic at Stuttgart tomorrow. But if the tie is gone and it's all about the title race, then what does Martin O'Neill do with the team ahead of Sunday? Speaking of the title race, Derek McInnes says he's been speaking to Sir Alex Ferguson of all people for advice and revealed the former Manchester United boss is rooting for the Jambos to win the title. It was goalless at Tannadice, Dundee United and Aberdeen last night, and a big evening in the Championship, which leads us on nicely to our two guests this evening. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me we have Partick Thistle striker Tony Watt and Partick Thistle assistant manager Alex Ray. We've kept the Jags theme going.
Yeah, well,
good point. Or 2 points dropped last night. Come on.
Yeah, I think it was 2 points dropped. I think the mood in the dressing room would suggest that as well. It was obviously late in the game, and we have to defend the set piece better. But listen, we're in a good place, and it's going to be a real battle to the death, I hope.
Wasn't his fault, was it? How awkward would this show be if it was his fault?
That would be really awkward.
And you had to come in here. He didn't mark his man or anything. No, he was fine.
No, he did well again last night. I think him and Alex are striking up a really good partnership at the top end of the pitch.
How soon after you come off the pitch do you realise that St Johnstone have dropped points as well? And does that make it worse, or does it soften the blow?
People have got phones on the bench now, so you know.
Do they? On the bench?
I don't...
Yeah, you're not players or staff.
No, right, okay.
Like, people next to the bench and people feed it in, and I believe that it was a point gained because I've had a few hours to reflect on it. Away to Dunfermline isn't the worst result. Okay, we concede late on, but we're on a decent wee run, and we're... Everybody seems confident, and the reaction in the changing room shows that we're disappointed to lose 2 points, and for me that's a good enough mentality.
01419511025. Any Championship fans want to pick the brains of these two, you can do, but I don't think they'll be offended by the suggestion that there are other big topics out there. The title race, you cannot escape it at the moment, but this week it collides with Europe again, doesn't it? So Celtic fans, what is the mindset? Is every single bit of Stuttgart tomorrow irrelevant? Is it just get over it, get it done with, and focus on Sunday and focus on the title race? Or can you not quite allow yourself to go that far? Is it still about, is it about saving face? Is it trying to put in some sort of performance? And crucially, what does Martin O'Neill do with the team? So this is your last night really to get your suggestions in. Are you ripping up everything? Are you resting everybody? Is it all about the weekend? Does it need to be a combination of both? Are there any players in particular you want to see in the team? Does Kasper Schmeichel stay in? Are there others that need to come in ahead of Sunday? All that sort of stuff. Let's get your thoughts in nice and early on that if you can, Celtic fans. We'll start the build-up tonight on 01419511025. Anything else that's out there? I thought that was great stuff from Derek McInnes. I was through his press conference. It was really quite engaging, quite fascinating to hear him say that he's been speaking to Sir Alex Ferguson regularly. They spoke this morning. He says Sir Alex is rooting for Hearts to win the league. He's going to the game at the weekend. So what are your latest thoughts there on the title race? Because, again, we're back to that scenario where Hearts get to play first, and then that you all know what's coming on Sunday, so something needs to give there. So if you've got anything left over from the weekend, we'll absolutely take that as well. I don't think we'll get many calls celebrating how good a game Dundee United 0, Aberdeen 0 was last night. But again, if you want to surprise me, please feel free. And anything else at all, pick up that phone right now. What about the top flight? We've spoke about how exciting your title race is, but my goodness, what's going on in this top league? Has it ever been as good as this?
I heard Derek McInnes say last week, going on for what you're saying here at a press conference, that he can only worry about himself, but if they go and take care of business on Saturday, any result's good for him on Sunday, and I think they're in the driving seat now. I said it a couple of weeks ago, I thought that Celtic or Rangers would make it difficult for them, but I think we need to put a bit of respect on Hearts' name, and it's the best it's ever been in my lifetime. There's never been three teams competing as strong as that, and long may it continue.
Especially because last week, Alex, there's that unexpected nature, perhaps. I don't think MD predicts that Celtic and Rangers drop points on the same day, never mind Celtic losing, first time in 16 years against Hibs. But this week's different because Hearts actually know, as Tony says, something's guaranteed. If they can take care of their own business, something will go their way in a sense on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, Gordon, but you've obviously mentioned three teams there, but I wouldn't rule Motherwell as well.
Go on then.
No, the reason why I say that is they've got an opportunity to close a gap on Rangers and Celtic as well at the weekend, and the way they're playing, they're coming like a steam train. However, going back to Hearts, I think they're in a terrific position here. I think when you look at the next four games, it's very much winnable. Obviously, at Tynecastle as well, it's not an Aberdeen team, it's brimming with confidence at the moment. You know, they've got this interim manager and Peter leaving, and I don't think the results have been scintillating. However, you know, it's an opportunity for Hearts to pile more pressure on the Old Firm, because when it comes to these games, it really is a toss of the coin.
Right, come on, 01419511025. I mean, it's Wednesday night, you could probably just get your thoughts in about Sunday already. I think we did last night, somebody picked their team for Sunday on a Tuesday night. That's when you know it's a big game coming at the end of the week. But it is relevant this week, isn't it, Celtic fans? Because how very rarely would you find yourselves in European knockout competition late February, and we're just talking about almost kind of disregarding it and moving on. Is it that simple? You tell us your thoughts, because you're the ones that matter on this. With that in mind, though, tell you what, even for a dead rubber, these guys still get the trips. Incredible. Let's check in with our reporter, Andrew McLean.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard coverage of the European knockout rounds with South Lanarkshire Leisure and Culture. Feel better with an all-inclusive membership, gym, swim and more.
What's the feeling over there in Stuttgart, Andrew? Sorry you've had to return to the scene of the crime when we were all there at the Euros a couple of years ago. Not too many good memories, and that was just sharing a hotel with Gordon Dalziel. But what's the feeling in the Celtic camp tonight?
Yeah, very animated. Martin O'Neill, actually, in his pre-match press conference today, I've just finished speaking to him, and animated about the Austin Trusty appeal and that being unsuccessful yesterday. He was asked about his thoughts on it, and he echoed what Celtic's statement said yesterday, and the fact that they're not really happy with how the process that led to Austin Trusty being sent off. But Martin O'Neill, going into real depth about it, he was saying that you know, from what he can gather, he says it was a very excited VAR that was telling the referee to delay. He said that he thought the process was a nonsense. He went as far as saying that referees will probably just be redundant in the future, because he feels that just games are being re-refereed constantly. So yeah, he was very passionate about that, and he was very angry about that, and that's something that certainly is fresh on his mind, aside from what is a massive game tomorrow, because, well, I say a massive game tomorrow, not quite as massive as the ones to come, but it is a Europa League game. Martin O'Neill talked about pride being at stake, but he was also asked about the fact that, you know, will it be a weakened side? How much does the Rangers game on Sunday come into account when he's making his team selection? He said that the only player that hasn't travelled is Julian Araujo, and he sort of batted off any idea that there would be a weakened team, more in the sort of semantics of the word, that he feels any team that he puts out wouldn't necessarily be a weakened team. He feels that anyone that plays tomorrow will be a first team player, that they all have played their part in the Celtic squad at the moment. So he's certainly not going along with the theory that it'll be a weakened team, but I would expect there will be some changes going into the game tomorrow.
Who was the player on media duties? Although it's been a long time, to be fair, since that really gave too much of a clue as to who would play, but just out of curiosity.
Thomas Chvanchara was the player that sat in front of the media today. He was just saying that Celtic obviously need to get better, especially after the last two results, the last few string of performances, even though Celtic got some late winners. So whether he starts up front, we'll wait and see. But sometimes it can give an indicator, sometimes it doesn't at all. Sometimes it's just who says yes to doing press duty. So maybe he will play, maybe he won't. But there certainly will be a few Celtic players, I think, in that squad that haven't had as much game time as they would have liked, that will be eyeing a starting place tomorrow.
What about the overall kind of mood? Because I know that's reflected almost in the team lineup question. But what was Martin Neal saying about, you know, how this game's approached and where it fits in the context of everything else that's going on?
Yeah, Martin O'Neill, as you'd expect, doesn't want to look beyond this game. He talks about how this is a big competition, and every single game that Celtic go into, they should be looking to win. He knows that, you know, Stuttgart were obviously very good last week. Celtic have that 4-1 deficit. He knows it would be a massive, massive ask if Celtic were able to take the game to extra time, if they were able to get through. I think he maybe accepts that will be, you know, a long, long shot. But certainly, he sounds as if he wants to go out, he wants to attack the game. And he said that supporters pay good money to come over for these trips and pay good money to come into these stadiums and watch these games. So he doesn't want to let those supporters down. He doesn't want them going away disappointed with their trip and the performance they've seen from Celtic. So that kind of comes into the pride aspect of things as well.
Any team news of note? It's obviously quite an interesting one. Well, I'm sure we're going to get into the calls about who should play going forward and Austin Trustee's domestic suspension. But of course, Benjamin Arthur can't play in European games, so this is not a chance to get him up to speed ahead of the weekend, is it?
No, it's not. As you say, there's maybe some restrictions just with who is and isn't in Celtic's European squad. Julian Araujo not travelling. Martin O'Neill didn't go into depth about that, so we don't know whether that is an injury or not, or whether the fact that Celtic do have, you know, plenty of right-backs in the European squad. Anthony Ralston is there. Colby Donovan is there as well. Alistair Johnson's in the squad, although, of course, he won't play because he's injured, so maybe he is just being rested ahead of the weekend. But when you look at the Celtic squad in recent weeks, even if Martin O'Neill is to rotate, you could have guys like Reo Hatate, who hasn't been starting games, coming in and starting this one tomorrow. Daizen Maeda hasn't been a guaranteed starter. So there will be players that have made a big contribution for Celtic over the last few years that could play tomorrow night. So I don't think it's going to be quite the B team that some Celtic fans think is the way to go about this game. I'm sure there will be plenty of quality in there. And surely you'd expect that Austin Trustee will start this game, given the fact he's got a three-match domestic ban to serve straight after this.
Okay, thank you very much, Tandrum. Just quickly though, Andrew, before you go, it's not the same hotel we stayed in Stuttgart for the Euros, is it?
No, I think that's been fumigated after Gordon DL was staying in there.
Here's one for your gaffer, you two, Mark Wilson. This was the one. Now, bear in mind, this had been a long trip. By the time we got to Stuttgart, last city, tensions were high, patience was low, clean underwear was running out. That's that we got there and they said, no, sorry, there's been a mistake with the reservation. Like, you all need to share beds.
Oh, no.
Oh dear. Can you imagine? Now, needless that we didn't in the end, we managed to get it sorted, honestly. But that was what was waiting on us in the reception. We had to wait in reception for ages and just keep arguing and trying. I don't know what was going on.
I can imagine a dazzler. He was like, I'm sure me no one.
Honestly, it was not great. But thanks again to Andrew McLean for bringing us up to speed. Let's go to the phones where Jamie waits us. He's a Celtic fan. What are you thinking about tomorrow, Jamie? How would you kind of sum up what you're thinking?
For tomorrow, I think we just need to drop a few players. Look ahead till the weekend. Me personally, I think we're in a bit of a diabolical state just now, as a football club in general.
Yeah, I mean, Martin, you heard Andrew there, you know, Martin and he'll still trying to tread that line of pointing out that people have paid good money and they come over, but you think just... So the tie's completely gone. It doesn't matter.
Talking about money, I think we've spent more money appealing situations this season than we have spent in players, which is an absolute disgrace.
So it's a yes then. Disregard tomorrow. All about the title race for you.
Yeah, I think me personally, if we go to Ibrox, absolute. If we get beat, it's the league's done. I mean, they'll be up for it. That place will be bouncing.
Yeah. Tony, what do you think? Like, we're conditioned to these clubs. Every game's a big game. And, you know, there's European football and this is what, you know, Celtic's all about. And then Martin Neal's introduced a financial travel aspect for fans, which I get. But this must at least be as close to a sort of dead rubber or whatever as you can get at this stage.
This is a dead rubber for me. They're 4-1 down. Celtic aren't in good form. They can't afford to play their best players for 120 minutes ahead of Rangers, especially with flying back. For me, I would be making 4 or 5 changes, and I know that Andrew said that Trustee will start. For me, Trustee doesn't start. I'd get Dane Murray alongside Scales and I'd play both of them together for 60 minutes. And if Scales needs to come off, he comes off, but get Dane Murray in there, because if Arthur's not ready for Sunday, you've got a big decision to make, and Dane Murray needs minutes. I think... And Iheanacho should play, should save Chanchara and get Iheanacho 60 minutes and get somebody next to McGregor and make a lot of changes, because they should use this for minutes. They should rest players, but they should also get other players up to speed, because Celtic season needs to start on Sunday, because it's not started yet.
We'll find out between now and 8 o'clock, Alex, but usually you hear something of not, you know, we never roll over, every game's massive, we go for it. I don't detect much of it out there. Is it all about just taking whatever happens tomorrow on the chin and moving on?
Yeah, but also you don't want a severe tanking, you know, if it was something embarrassing. And I think he's right. I think it's about getting the balance. I think you have to have a core. you know, I think Callum McGregor will be in there sitting and kind of picking up the pieces. But I agree with Tony in some respects.
Callum McGregor play again?
Well, the thing is, he tends to play all the time anyway, Gordon, you know.
Is that right?
Well, the thing is, it's a decision whether you just throw in all the fringe players, basically. So Tony mentioned a couple there. So Jan could potentially come in. The right back berth of Ralston or Donovan. Luke McCown would maybe come into the reckoning. Iheanacho needs to get up to speed as well. Yeah. He looks a bit sluggish for that layoff, so the minutes would be great for him as well. It's interesting what Tony says about Donovan. I feel as if he needs to play just to try and get kind of settled into things. He hasn't played for a while, and I think was it Hearts the last time that he started? You remember
Dane Murray.
Yeah, so
I think that was his last.
So you know that wasn't a particularly good day for him. So so when you factor in all these, Gordon, I think if you put him into tomorrow, then potentially it would give him a little bit of assurance and try and get some sort of relationship with Scales.
Jamie, has the fact Kasper Schmeichel stayed in at the weekend, does that mean this issue has been put to bed for Martin O'Neill? Do you think he continues in goal now? Should he?
Me personally, I don't think he should put on a Celtic jersey again.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he's fit enough to be in goal at the moment. I think the past 8 performances have showed that. I think he's overstayed his welcome. Me personally, I just don't think he should be playing for a club the size of Celtic. But at the moment, I know we're in a downward spiral with results struggling. I mean, we say we're a Champions League team. I mean, we're playing at home at Parkhead against Stuttgart, who's sitting, I know it's the German league, they're sitting fourth in the league, which is a good league, don't get me wrong. But me personally, I mean, I just think we've just went the wrong way about this season completely. We're bringing in players and just it's a complete disgrace, to be honest with you. And me personally, I don't know where we stand in this league title. I mean, Motherwell's not far off us. I mean, they've got a game in hand as well. So, you know what I mean?
I find it interesting what Jamie's talking about there in terms of disgrace and things. And I know his form's dipped, but 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago, he was pulling off a couple of decent saves for Celtic. And when you listen to Martin O'Neill speaking, he went on to say that he's been really good in his first spell and did really well in this spell. So he publicly backed him. So I don't expect him to kind of bin him anytime soon.
Yeah, but some Celtic fans,
no, I agree
have
with that.
Gone
as well.
Back, you know, cup final. Yep. Have gone Mikey Moore. They've racked up the list of misdemeanors. Is that issue? Was that put to bed by the fact that he stayed in against Hibs?
Yeah, he's number one. He's
think he'd be good rotated out tomorrow anyway, just as a sort of rest ahead of the weekend.
Goalkeeper doesn't need rested. It'll be interesting to see. I think he could play Sinisalo, and if he has a worldy game, then maybe keep him in. But I think Schmeichel's probably had a lot of bad luck in the sense that Celtic have defensively not been as strong as they've been in the past, and also the cup final one sticks out. But last year he was good. Last year he was really good. This cup final was a big mistake, we get that. But that probably makes it look as if he's been struggling for a lot longer than he has. I know he's had maybe one or two errors before, but it's probably only been 6 to 8 weeks where he's struggled. Okay, people say he looks heavy or whatever, but he's always been big. He's never really been a smaller goalkeeper. He's, for me, still a good goalkeeper. He's made a few mistakes, yes, but I don't think you need to be throwing players under the bus at this time because confidence already looks a bit fragile, and I don't think you need to be losing big characters like him.
What if it's to the detriment of the team? What if the goals that are going in are too soft?
That's the line, however.
Tony, see tomorrow night, it's a really interesting one because you see if he ships a lot of goals, it puts him really in a difficult position come Sunday. So you may well see a rotation with the goalkeeper tomorrow night.
But the only problem is then, is it fair on the boy Sinisalo? You give him half a team against Stuttgart away, and then you go here. You take five, and you take four,
Tony,
you take
Tony,
three.
Tony, what happens if he actually is a worldie? And then he makes up your
saying.
Mind.
And then you go, you put him in and you go, do you know what? You're ready for Sunday, but nobody, and I don't think Sinisalo's played enough games to know. He played Livingston, I'm sure, conceded too early. They won 4-2. And I think that probably made up the mind that Schmeichel stays in. Was that under Nancy?
Yes.
So the thing is, I agree with you, like, maybe throw him in tomorrow. If you caught 5 goals or 4 goals or 3 goals, then, like last week, I'm only saying that because they lost 4 last week, then it's unfair on the boy. But then if he goes and pulls a clean sheet off and they win 1-0, then he probably has a decision that he needs to start him.
a summary of Jamie's thoughts there, where if Celtic lose at the weekend, the title's over. So prioritise that over tomorrow. How the rest of you feeling? Get the calls in. We'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. Get your calls in, please, on 0141 951 1025. I was going to say we're building up to Stuttgart against Celtic, but for some of you, you're already looking to jump beyond, given what's at stake domestically. So get all your thoughts in. I wonder if at any point between now and eight, we will get just that one person who says no. Stand
go for it.
Go every game. Never. I don't know. Maybe we've finally reached sort of a consensus on that one, but we'll wait and see. Mark is the next Celtic fan who's up. How do you feel about it tomorrow, Mark?
Hi, good evening, gents. How are
Hi,
you
Mark.
Guys?
How are you
good,
doing?
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much the same as everybody else. Just, you know, it's difficult to say that you don't want to go into a game and win it, you know, because obviously you want to win every game you play, but, you know, I'm a realist. I watched them during the week, last week, and Stuttgart are a good side. They're fourth in the German League. They've got top players. They're a team that know the system they want to play. They've got players in every position and then players off the bench that can play those positions. And Celtic just aren't anywhere near that at the minute. And that's just the hard... Normally, I've won it now again, and Celtic have been successful in the league. This season, it's been an absolute basket case. You know, it's kind of the injuries and players coming in, poor recruitment. So I don't think Celtic should be anywhere near this game tomorrow. And I'm not saying save players for the game on Sunday, because that in itself is a massive effort as well, you know, with the suspensions and the guys that are playing. And it's all, and not blaming anybody else, it's all the club's fault, you know, so it's all kind of self-inflicted. And that's kind of my point at the minute, like, you know.
Do you expect like wholesale changes then, Mark? Are you just talking one or two key ones? We heard there that Aroko has been left at home for reasons that Martin Neil was keeping kind of close to his chest. Do you expect like massive changes or just the odd couple?
I think he's a bit too wise. In my honest opinion, I think he'll make big changes. I think, I would imagine he'd play Kobe Donovan if he's not playing Aroko. You know, does he want to get... He can also use it as a game, because the game's dead. You know, it's 4-1. You know, the Celtic are never coming back for that, especially in away to Germany, which is a really tough place to go. And like I say, I watched it during the week, so if you play your best team, you're very unlikely to get a result over there. So if he's going to make changes, it'd be good to get the wee left-back on, the Sirachi, and get some game... minutes into his legs. And believe it or not, I actually like Kenny Acho. Mm-hmm. I know he's got a lot of injuries, but I think Kenny Acho is Celtic's best forward, and they just kind of keep him fit. I would like to see him get some minutes into his legs, you know, and potentially Bernardo, Rio Hatate, Luke McCowan, you know. And I know that's quite a big change, but needs must at the minute. You know, Celtic cannot afford to get any more injuries, especially with the title running, like, you know.
We've got enough on our plate with Europe and the title race before I throw another consideration. And I wonder if at right back Anthony Ralston's thinking there's a plane leaving for States, and I've been in quite a few squads, I wouldn't mind the game. But we could maybe save that for later. What's that like as a player? What do you think that the players are experiencing tomorrow, like mindset wise again, if you make wholesale changes, everybody's telling you you've no chance? What's it like getting into a game like that?
I think you just need to worry about yourself. I think you want to be in the starting 11 regardless if you're one of the main men or if you're on the outside. You want to go and score goals against teams like Stuttgart, and you want to go and win the game. And even, you probably tell by the changes the manager makes and the way he talks about it. I don't see Martin O'Neill making four or five changes, but I hope I'm wrong. And I think at that level...
Do you think he'll go strong then?
I think he will go strong, but I wouldn't go strong if I was him. I think he'll maybe... You can still go strong without playing, but I think, for instance, Maeda would have been his starting 11 2 weeks ago. He isn't now. He'll probably play. Then maybe Hatate comes in, and then I still think it'll be Trusty Scales, Sirachi maybe instead of Tierney, Donovan, Schmeichel, Stengels, McGregor, Chvanchara, and I think I've missed a position.
To be fair, it's funny because teams carry such big squads now, don't they?
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
Andrew alluded to it. You could actually make six, and it doesn't seem... You're not you know, you're not going to London Road and picking six guys. And,
yes.
You know, you're.
That's the point I tried to make.
Imagine, there's still good players there.
Yeah, so imagine, I don't know, James Forrest and. Well, Maeda didn't start at the weekend.
So
James
point.
Forrest and Maeda, either side of Iheanacho, Hatate,
and
McGregor, and Bernardo.
Or Donovan.
And if you've changed the left back, my arithmetic has let me down. But I think that's about six, maybe even more.
But it doesn't look like six because Hitati and Maeda were probably in the starting 11
so
2 weeks
so
ago.
We're making too much of the numbers game then. We just scrapped the last half an hour of the show. We'll start again.
No, listen, I think it's a real conundrum for them to try and get the balance right because, unlike Tony, I believe there will be lots of changes. And I feel as if because. I'm not quite sure how many fans are going out there for Celtic, but I would imagine it's a few thousand paid a lot of money. But I think there'll be an understanding as well that you don't go top heavy out there because there's such a big game a couple of days later. The travelling, the mental capacity, if you're going against a Stuttgart team who are very good mentally and physically, it is so challenging and you still have to travel back and you have very little time to recover. So I would imagine there would be a minimum of five or six changes.
Mark, the previous caller's justification for this was obviously every time Celtic and Rangers meet it's important, but he felt the league is over for Celtic if they lose at the weekend. Would you go that far?
No, I don't think it is. And I know that might sound a bit out there, but still there's a lot of football to play. Celtic have still got a game in hand. Now, I'm not saying that Celtic are going to go out and win every game. I mean, I've been to most home games this season. They've rode a luck a lot of times, but they've also had a bit of luck. They've been a bit unlucky other times, but I don't think it'll be the total. I don't think, I know a lot of people are saying both. If Celtic, I think Chris Boyd said if Rangers lose, the title's over for them, and if Celtic lose, it's over for them. I don't think that because if Celtic can keep in it until the split, then it's anybody's game. But I've got to be honest with you, I think it's going to be a really tough ask for Celtic to go to Germany. And regardless of what squad plays, and to go to Ibrox, where Rangers have got quite big, and I know they had a great result at the weekend there, but they've got a very big, strong, physical side. Celtic didn't really have that. So, you know, I don't think the title's over, but I think it'll be very difficult for us, definitely.
Could Celtic survive defeat? But you can do this with all the teams, and you can then flip it Rangers. We're talking about Celtic at the moment. Could they still win the league if they lose at the weekend, for you?
They would need to be meticulous after it. They would need to be squeaky clean. They would need to beat Celtic, beat Rangers and Hearts in the split. I think it would be a big ask if either of the old firm lose to then go and win the league with the other two pressing on.
I disagree. I think if Celtic lost at the weekend and they won their game in hand, there would only be a couple of points off the top, depending on what Hearts do at the weekend, and then you still have that game to come around in a couple of weeks' time. Hearts, Celtic.
What would they be if Hearts win and Celtic lose?
So that would be they would be on 63, and Celtic, if they won their game in hand, would be on 57. 6 points it would be, which is not insurmountable because you've still got to play them twice, I think, haven't they?
With 38 games a season.
Yeah, they play them in a couple of weeks, don't they?
Nine games.
Celtic
twice
play them.
Hearts.
Yeah. So again, if you looked at it on paper, you would think, and I know they haven't done great against, or Rangers for that matter, done well against.
I don't think they're consistent enough, Celtic or Rangers, to go and pull back a 9 point lead or pull back. And based on the weekend, Celtic and Rangers used to take teams apart when they were going for the league. They used to push them aside. Rangers drawn with Livy. Livy have 10 men, by the way. Probably goes a different way, if not. And then Celtic can beat a Parkhead off Hibs. It's unheard of, things like that, that Hearts are putting on pressure. And if Hearts can keep... Hearts will probably win a lot of their games against the teams that are out with the top four, for me. They keep churning out results.
Is there a bit that you can't measure, though, which... I think this came up last night, and I know you end up getting ahead of yourselves and the ifs keep mounting up, but Celtic have lost their last two. If everybody's kind of writing this off and saying, you know, second string team plays tomorrow, whatever, and they lose, and the scenario Mark and everyone else is talking about is if they lose at Ibrox, we're just talking about league points.
Yep.
That'd be four defeats in a row. I wonder what the mood would be like. You know, it's easy for us to say that can still be caught up. Of course it can when you look at the numbers, but I'm just thinking about the
psychology
negativity and the feeling of around.
And based on their form recently.
No, listen, and I think they've actually scraped a couple of late winners, which again is a good trait to have. But if it's very unusual to see a Celtic team lose three or four games in the bounce. All being, you know, you look at the Stuttgart team.
And before Stuttgart, it was Dundee, Dundee in the cup last minute, Livy in the league last minute, and who was the league game? Did they score Kilmarnock away? So it's not as if they've been blowing teams apart.
Yeah. No, but listen, that's a very good point in terms of where the Celtic players would be mentally, but there's an upshot to that as well, as if they go to Rangers and win that, then the psychology where Rangers are with the last three away performances, you know, taking 3 points. So you can spin this as many ways as you want, you know, but the one thing you can guarantee is when you look at the way that Hearts have maintained, you know, their consistency throughout the course of the season, it's been really impressive. And then it goes back to the conversation, you know, if you're taking advice or suggestions off the best psychologist in the place, I would say he's in the right place, because Sir Alex has been a master at it for his whole career.
I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, Hearts fans. You've got Sir Alex in your corner, apparently. Although he must have enjoyed what he witnessed at Paisley the other night. Jens Ball going to be the next Man United manager after watching that. Thank you very much to Mark on the line. It's 01419511025. If you want to get involved, and please do, you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Get in touch, let us know what you're thinking about tomorrow and what's up and coming. If you've any thoughts that you want to share about last night's games and so on, then please do. George is in the West End next up. How are you, George?
I'm fine, thank you, guys. How are you doing?
All good. Top here. Oh, good. Yeah. Good to have you on, George. I always wonder what tips people over the edge, what makes them phone in.
You always conduct a fair and a good chat on the radio. I like it when you're on. So, yeah, well done. Well done. And well done, and a good host.
Thanks, Uncle George. It's great to hear from you. Phone anytime.
Brilliant. Listen, guys, I like listening. Andy made a good point, obviously, about Kasper Schmeichel and things like that with defence-wise, but I think genuinely Celtic invested with the money that they've got, not all of it, but part of it, that this league would have been finished long ago for Celtic. I think they've just sort of cut their own throats with the lack of talent, the lack of investment, and you can talk all you want about the fans. It's the board. It's the board's fault. Yeah, it's exciting. Everybody's excited and things like that. You know, Hearts, Rangers and Motherwell now coming into the challenging for the title. But genuinely, Celtic have just sort of, they've sabotaged themselves, you know, and it's actually quite sad to actually see, you know, because we're not used to it. We're not used to it being a Celtic fan, you know, for all these years. And I know other clubs and supporters will be looking and laughing and enjoying it. But yeah, I think Celtic, if they would have invested with the money they had, not all of it, but most of it, or even half of it, the league would have been gone now for Celtic. They'd have won it, done and dusted by now. I don't know what the pundits think about that.
I don't know about by now. February seems generous, but you kind of know what George means. Like, for whatever, if Celtic season... No, I know what you mean, George. I'm being smart, and after you give me a nice compliment as well. It's so rude of me. Tony, none of this will ever get away from the way Celtic fans, some of them feel like the club's been run recently. I mean, you can even see little micro bits of this. I said about the defenders earlier, where you've the sort of best defender you could get, and that sounds rude, but like Benjamin Arthur, it's a young loanee, so you get him not able to put him in the European squad, so now he can't play tomorrow, so now he might not get practice to go in and play against Rangers because Austin Trusty's been sent off again. It just feels like there's so much mounts up there for fans like George.
Yeah, I think going back to the Benjamin Arthur signing, I think I was on air that night, he was signing, and there was just a feel about it that it was a kind of last ditch. There was no big signing. There was no kind of fuss about him. It was as if, oh, he's coming in, that's fine, let's move on to tomorrow. I think the way Celtic's been run, if it was a debate between the fans and the board and who was scoring points, I think the points would probably be going towards the fans at the moment, just with how the season's panned out, whether that's luck or whether that's they've seen that coming. You do feel sorry for them. Obviously, Celtic have dominated. They've won 14 out of 15 titles. But when your standards are that high and it dips, then you can see where the frustration comes from. And I think this summer's going to be massive for Celtic in terms of the years coming, because they've built up such a winning mentality, such a positive bank balance. Everything that Celtic needed to do, everything that Celtic needed to be a top club to push on in Europe. And that's where the fans' frustrations are after the Bayern Munich game. I think this summer's going to be crucial to see if they can sustain it, or if they continue making small mistakes that lead to obviously big ones.
I think it'll be a clean sweep in the summer. I expect a structural change at the top as well, and how the club's run. And again, I don't think the Celtic fans will be particularly happy on the last couple of transfer windows. You look at the one in January, it was a lot of loan deals. The summer, it was all being they spent a few quid. It wasn't really pushing the boat out, as George highlighted there. And, you know, he felt as if it's self-sabotage, you know, because they've not invested in the right areas of the pitch. And ultimately, that's what's come down to the disconnect, a large part of a disconnect with the board and the current situation at Celtic.
Are you another one, George, then, that just get tomorrow out the way, whatever it has to look like, it looks like, and then you move on?
You know, absolutely. I think tomorrow, if Celtic get away with just a 3-0 defeat, I think we'll all be delighted, you know, in the great words of Martin O'Neill, you know, if we think that we're going to do anything tomorrow, you know, you need your heads examined, that's for sure. Celtic have got no defence. They are panicked. They panic when teams attack against us now. You see them with Trusty and obviously Scales, and no disrespect to the guys. I played at a good level as well. There's no connection between them. Trusty runs away for players rather than go and attack players. And I think that's why Kasper Schmeichel's getting found out now. You know, don't get me wrong, he's older, but he was a phenomenal goalkeeper. And when you've not got a defence there to help you, you know, your goalie's going to be found out if he's lacking in anything. And Kasper Schmeichel's know the goalkeeper that he used to be, unfortunately, you know. And it's sad to see. I went to the game a couple of weeks ago, and even the atmosphere, there's nothing there at Celtic now, you know. Don't get me wrong, they are a massive club. I love my football club, and we will be back. But, you know, I heard one of the guys saying earlier, you know, you don't win titles with no investment. You just can't do it. They've done it for years with Rangers, putting just enough to win a title. No ambition to go anywhere in Europe, no in the Champions League or in the Europa League. We've always just invested enough to put more in than Rangers to win a league. And fortunately, we've won leagues. But, you know, now with Rangers having a wee bit more investment, is Celtic going to spend more money? Are they going to, you know, we'll sell Maeda, we'll sell Ingles, Hatate? Are they just going to spend that money that they get from those players? Or are they going to have a go and make players get off their seats now at Parkhead? Because that's not happened for a long time. And it's sad now, you know. It's sad to see.
Good stuff, George. Hopefully we'll speak again. That was George in the West End. Let me tell you about this before we move on.
Clyde One.
This Friday, we could set you up with the payday of all paydays. £500,000. It says on here life-changing. I think that's an understatement. £500,000on Make Me A Winner. Just imagine finishing off February with that money in your account. It goes straight after we make the call as well. So get in that draw. Text YES to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday, so be quick. Just answer the phone if we call. The £500,000 would be yours. Good luck. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. Any Partick Thistle fans want to pick their brains? They're split. I'll have these two fighting and arguing before the end. One of them thought it was a good point last night. The other one thought it was 2 points dropped away at Dunfermline. So get your calls in if you want to talk Championship, because it was an exciting night. Maybe not quite as exciting. Dundee United 0, Aberdeen 0. But if you want to reflect on that, you can. Title race, Europa League, big game Sunday. It's all happening. Pick up that phone, just like Lewis and Gart Kosh has done. How are you, Lewis?
Yeah, I'm good. Last time I was on, I said Russell Martin should be given more time, so I'm hoping to give it a better opinion tonight. So
sorry, we've lost Lewis in the line there.
It's taking you a few months to come out the woodwork.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, Lewis, not everybody, especially on this show,
man enough,
puts their hands up and admits their mistakes. So what's your hot take for us tonight? Rangers going to win 8-0 at the weekend or something?
Well, I do think we'll win on Sunday, but I just want to talk. I think a lot of our fans are going a bit over the top over the Livingston result. I do think that it was one of those freak results in the title race, like, that can happen. It possibly was down to a mentality thing, but if you look at the game, like, we are comfortably dominant. We should have scored many. Like, it was a great performance by Livingston goalkeeper. I think Celtic just haven't been great recently, so I think on Sunday we're going to go in, and if we play our best team, we've got a really good chance of just absolutely taken a few, you know.
Where do you, Alex? Freak result on the day or part of a small pattern that's developing? Yeah. Three away games in a row.
Yeah, I highlighted that at the weekend, Gordon. I think if you're chasing down a title, dropping points in the manner which you did at the weekend, I think most Rangers fans getting into there would think it would be a given. The fact that they, Livingston, haven't won for almost 200 days. So, you know, I think when you're chasing down a title, these are the games that you actually need to win. And I think it makes things more difficult. But it's a perfect way to respond against your biggest rivals coming to your home ground. The home form's been pretty decent for Rangers this season. So I think they'll probably go into that with confidence. As I said, the three away results is obviously 6 points dropped on the road, so they really need to kind of maintain that home form if they're going to compete at the top.
I think Astratoff, and I know we make excuses, I think Astratoff's got a lot to play in. The games you go to Killy, you go to Livy, even Falkirk, they can be difficult, but I thought Livy deserved the lead, probably the 2-goal lead as well. I know it wasn't many shots, but I thought they'd done their jobs really well. But Rangers can take heart for the fact they never kind of crumbled and got beat. They came back, I know they drew, but Rangers have been alright. I've watched a couple of their games recently and some of the players are starting to kick on. The wee boy Romans looks a real deal, the wee left back, and it seems the boy Nadiri as well can shift. It seems like he's happy with his squad, and I think they'll go into the game maybe a little bit more confident than Celtic, depending on how the result goes tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see how he plays as well, because obviously against Hearts they went with two up top. If Nadiri's up to speed, I would be shocked if he doesn't play the both of them against Celtic, because defensively they look as if they're going to be a little bit weaker at the weekend. Celtic.
I think that's where Rangers are a wee bit more. They say obviously clean sheets win you the leagues. I think Rangers are a wee bit more solid defensively than now. I think they're just maybe a little bit more set up, and obviously Celtic, I've got time to change that. But no, I think it'll be a really interesting game. But who goes in the game as favourites? Because Rangers at home, maybe them. But who are you taking as favourites, Hal?
Well, listen, just because of the home form, I would expect Rangers to be favourites with the bookies. But in saying that, I always think Celtic are capable. You look at the top end of the pitch, they've got real match winners. You know, Tanecki's starting to show a little bit more form, like the stuff he did at the beginning of the campaign. Chuanchara is a different proposition to what they've been dealing with, and then Iheanacho, if he can get minutes, potentially could throw him in, because for me he's the best linker. I think he's really good, and he picks up real good pockets. So you know, and then obviously you've got Negrin, who just picks goals out for anywhere. He's having the best season you can imagine.
Sorry, I was just checking there when Tony said clean sheets win your league. I was just checking who's got the most clean sheets and who's conceded the fewest goals there. I was just double checking to have a wee look.
But did you see the stat?
I did.
PSG in mid.
I liked that one. I used that a few times on Sky the other day. It's nice to put another one in the same breath as
Bayern Munich. Ahead of them.
I don't think you do that very often, or maybe ever again. Lewis, a lot of big statements have been thrown around about this fixture, like if Celtic lose, the title race for them's over, if Rangers lose, etc. What do you think about how much is riding on it?
No, of course it's a big fixture, but I think there's always going to be twists and turns in the title race, and you know, Hearts are an excellent team, but you do expect them to possibly drop points a few times before the end of the season. Celtic have been in bad form, but they can just pull a result out of nowhere. You know, they seem to just get a result even when they're playing bad sometimes. So I think it is a big result, or a big, you know, it's our last big home game against, I think we've got Hearts and Celtic away in the split, so it's sort of our last big home game against one of the title rivals, you know.
Do you think that makes a big difference? We always kind of lean into home advantage and that stuff, but if we're saying that Rangers' issues in the last few weeks have come on the road, are they a completely different proposition at Ibrox for you?
Well, I actually would disagree that we're bad away. I think
I just mean drop points three games in a row, isn't it? That's all I mean.
Yeah. No, we're definitely better. We're good at Ibrox. It's the like atmosphere against Hearts was so much different. I feel like even when we were losing, or even when it was like a tight game, the fans were just spurring the team on, and I think that's definitely what gave us the edge. I think McInnes also said that in his post-match.
See, when you talk about home form, Gordon, I think Hearts are the top of the tree, 14 games played, and they've got 31 points. Celtic, Motherwell and Rangers are all currently on 31, 3 points behind. So Hearts have the best home form of this campaign so far.
Going to be interesting, that's for sure. Thank you to Lewis. Rangers fans, you agreeing with what you've heard there? We'll hear from Barry Ferguson a bit later on, but let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. It's the highlight of Tony Watt's week. Rumour has it he was running around at East End Park last night telling the Dunfermline defenders it's just 16 hours until I'm back on Beat the Pundit. So let's see.
We should maybe play this tune, Beat the Pundit, before he gets before out. Before he runs up, out. Just put him in his earpods.
It's a guaranteed goal or assist if this comes on before
I fired up.
Look at his body language is on.
Anyway, your chance to Beat the Pundit is next. You have to get your calls in before 7 o'clock and it could be you taking on Alex Ray or Tony Watt for either the signed ball, the Beat the Pundit coin, and most importantly, the bragging rights. So 01419511025 and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. It's 01419511025. We've just kicked off the second half, so let's hear from you, as many as we can, on a number of topics really. Tomorrow would normally be described as a big night for Celtic, but we're trying to figure out what it does mean. Is it all, are you resting everybody? Is it all about Sunday? Is it finding that middle ground? How do you feel about tomorrow, Celtic fans? What would you do to the team? Throw names at us, tell us who you want to see play, who you want to see rested. Naturally, attentions are already going to the title race and Sunday and what everything means. Derek McInnes had some interesting comments today. I'd love to hear from you Hearts fans. There was championship action, as these two can attest to last night. So loads happening. None of it, I don't care what anybody says, none of it, in the eyes of Tony Watt, is as big as this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Tony Watt, it's not making this up, it's the highlight of his week. During the news, he showed me a new IKEA unit that he's got in the house. Other furniture shops are available, and he's got pride of place. He's Beat the Pundit coin.
Yep, embarrassing. I'll send the picture tonight to you or John, and they can show it on Twitter. It is pride of place next to all the trophies I've won. So it's sitting there alone.
David is on the line to play tonight. How are you, David?
Not bad, how are you, mate?
Not bad, not bad. I don't like this notion that you've got it next to all your memorabilia. What was the story? Who's your pride of place shirt again that you got?
Say that again.
I'm sorry, I was asking Tony what he's pride
Pirlo,
of place.
Pirlo, I think
that
it
was the one. So Pirlo's shirt next to the Beat the Pundit coin.
No, I've got a few Player of the Month trophies. I think I've got a couple of pals in it. The SPFL, and then a couple of medals, a couple of wee things there. So
and the coin. David, have you ever played this before?
I have never. And if Tony will sign all them, they're going straight to my best pal Justin, who's the biggest Celtic fan you'll ever meet.
He's donating them straight away.
It's a signed pair of socks for Justin after this, if you beat me.
Two pairs. He's got big feet.
It's the blue side of the coin for Tony Watt and the red side of the coin for Alex Ray. So let's see how we go this evening. And it's blue. I've robbed him.
Beauty.
No, it's Alex.
No, he's playing first.
Oh,
sorry.
I get mixed up. Don't know why. It's the same every night. I don't know how I got that mixed up. Tony Watt up against David in Mount Florida. So we'll give Tony Watt something else to listen to at the moment. David, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yeah.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock. And your time starts now. Austin Trustee's been sent off against Hibs and which other team this season?
Hearts.
Which former Rangers manager stepped down as head coach of Curaçao?
Hello, Barry Ferguson.
Who is the only Scottish Premiership side to have lost their last three league games?
Dundee.
How many different players scored for Motherwell on Saturday?
Three.
Which Scottish team qualified for the Challenge Cup final last night?
Arbroath.
30 seconds on the clock, are you ready?
Yep.
Your time starts now. Austin Trustee's been sent off against Hibs and which other team this season?
Hearts.
Which former Rangers manager stepped down as head coach of Curaçao?
Dakar.
Who are the only Scottish Premiership team that's lost their last three league games?
Pass.
How many different players scored for Motherwell on Saturday?
Five.
Which Scottish side qualified for the Challenge Cup final last night?
Inverness.
Who was Aberdeen's last permanent manager before Jimmy Tilleen?
Pass.
Who was last season's Young Player of the Year in Scotland?
Lenny Miller.
Okay, right, let's go through them and find out how it went. Number one, Austin Trusty sent off against Hibs, and which other team? Hearts, both quite high profile, both quite memorable. You both got it. Which former Rangers manager has stepped down as head coach of Curaçao? It's not Barry Ferguson.
Sweet Dick.
All right. Oh, so that's...
I may need to press that button.
I thought you were talking to Tony, right? It is Dick Advocat, so it's 2-1 to Tony Watt. Who are the only Scottish Premiership side who've lost their last three?
St Mirren.
It is St Mirren. The last one was against Hearts as well, the table toppers. How many different players scored for Motherwell on Saturday? Just Maswanisi, Side, Longello, Björgolfsson. It is 5. Tony Watt stretches his advantage. Who qualified for the Challenge Cup final last night? It was Inverness Cali Thistle. They beat Ayr 2-1. They'll face Airdrie or Raith in the final. Sorry to remind you two. Aberdeen's last permanent manager,
Barry Robson.
Yeah, you
Barry
got that Robson. One wrong, but you did. I think I had started the question.
Yeah,
I don't
did.
Know if it really matters. You got Lennon Miller anyway. So it was a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for Tony, and just a 1 for David. Hard lines to David.
Unlucky David.
No wonder he was cursing. David.
You'll be happy.
Is there
with
a
that.
Swear word?
I don't know. David admitted that there was, but so I think it must have been a wee subtle one.
Was it not to do with the Curaçao manager as well?
No, it wasn't actually. We had managed to pass by that.
Well, I'm glad I didn't hear it.
Happy with that one?
Yeah, delighted.
You're good at this.
Yeah, it's good, isn't he?
I like my... I got a wrong reputation for being stupid in Scottish football, and I'm trying to eradicate that. I'm trying hard to eradicate that.
By using words like eradicate?
Yes, well...
Do you know what's funny? After a long career, Tony Watt is finally using Beat the Pundit to try and convince Scottish football that he's no daft.
Yeah. Oh, well, interesting thing about it is he, during breakfast in the morning, and obviously at lunchtime, they do all the Beat the Pundits and all these quizzes.
The
5K minute and all that. So they're all... interacting in the quizzes.
We enjoy it.
You've got more bragging to go into training with tomorrow.
I think that's 3-1 this year. 3-1 maybe. 4-1 maybe.
75% win rate.
Yeah. That's three wins from four, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah, so there
I
you
went
go.
For the old NBA scoreline, 3-1. Oh, that's weird.
Too
very
Americanized
weird.
For us. Thank you to David. Well done again to Tony. Does he walk in with extra swagger when he wins?
Listen,
next
you don't need to win beat the punnet. He's in there kind of holding court.
Does he run the dressing room?
I don't know. It's,
yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you, aye?
I give a lot of stick out. I don't know how to take it well. I kind of leave for that. I give a lot of stick out.
Do you know what I liked? I liked the Partick Thistle in-house interview with my old pal Mark Wilson at the weekend after your game.
The question right. You get asked.
I don't know who the gentleman is that does it, but if you're listening, phone me because you're my new hero. Say, Mark, it wasn't great, was it? Wasn't brilliant, but you won. Is that the most important thing? You agree? And Mark goes, no, I don't. I'm sorry it wasn't good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
I think you need to listen to the Partick Thistle in-house because I think that's been going on for the last 20 stretch.
I think it's
Mark's too nice. So like others, I know a lot of managers that would have went, hold on a second here.
I have to be honest with you, I've pulled Michael up a couple of times where I've been on the media
funny.
Duty.
Oh, it was funny. I'd enjoyed it a lot. Anyway, let's move on swiftly before we get ourselves in any more trouble and speak to Robert, who's in Knightswood. How's it going, Robert?
Aye, fine. How are you guys?
Good, mate.
All good here. All good. What are you thinking?
Good. No, it's just about Sunday. I just hope that we turn up on Sunday, Rangers, and get the result that we're needing. I just think every time we try to push on, we don't, and just let ourselves down, which is frustrating for us fans. And also, I would like to, obviously, would have been David Cooper's 70th birthday. That's my all-time favourite Rangers player.
I didn't know that, was it? Is that right? Is
Cooper's,
it the birthday today?
Aye, 70,
it's
birthday today,
70, aye. Because you've sparked a random memory. It's my son's first birthday yesterday. And I guess when you're in the sort of stress of the labour suite, more stressful for her than me, I should say, you're not really noticing who you share a birthday with.
Yeah.
But then yesterday I just kept seeing it. I think Walter Smith, Dennis Law as well, I think. Oh, wow. Quite good company.
Royalty.
That's a good
I didn't realise, obviously it wasn't forefront of my mind last year to sit in the hospital and check it. So David Cooper all at the same time. There we go. Good knowledge from Robert. Overall, Robert, what are you thinking ahead of this weekend?
Well, listen, we're at home, and anybody that knows it, I mean, you should technically win your games at home. It doesn't always go to plan. But I just think since the new manager's come in, he's got them playing well. But I just think sometimes, I just wish he would keep to a settled team, because I think sometimes he just You think you're kicking on, and then he changes the team, and then you end up scrimping for a draw. And fairness to Livingston on Sunday, I thought their goalkeeper was outstanding, honestly. Just the guy played out his skin, and I don't know what it is with Rangers playing teams with 10 men, but you just seem to think you're going to go in and horse them, and you end up, it comes back and bites in the backside.
Yeah, I think that's a factor. Yeah, you make some good points there, and I think that's been something that's been labelled, Danny Rowe, in the last couple of weeks about this tinkering and so forth. I don't think it came into effect at the weekend. You know, it was two enforced changes at the weekend. I think come this weekend, it'll be really interesting to see, because I feel as if he'll probably go roughly with the same team that they went against Hearts. You know, there were two big guys up front, and it's an opportunity for them to really pile the pressure on their big rivals, but more importantly, kind of stay within the title race, because I feel as if Hearts will beat Aberdeen at the weekend. I'll go in there early, and you know, that will extend the gap for them getting into the Sunday match. But I also feel as if Motherwell will win as well at the weekend, so you know, they can close the gap.
Do you think it helps Robert that Rangers have got this free week and Celtic are going to Stuttgart, even if they do rotate players and stuff? And would you still rather have the extra days?
100%, and see, to be honest, I disrespect my team, but I'm glad we're out of Europe, because we weren't going anywhere. My focus is on the league. I mean, if we pull this off, it'll be a fantastic achievement. But listen, it's all about getting points on the board, and MD knows me. And I just noticed there on the telly that Hearts have got a couple of more injuries, which will hopefully help us, know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we can't look at anybody else. We've got to do ourselves. You've got to just get the points in the bag and hopefully get a couple of more goals and just keep progressing the way we are. But as I said, everything's down to us, know what I mean? We've got to turn up on Sunday and hopefully get the players going. The other thing I was a bit surprised that, again, I'm not being disrespectful to the guy, but Souter's got another year. I definitely think the guy's struggling at times with his fitness, getting back. I don't know what Alec thinks, but I just think Souter sometimes, it's as if he's carrying a sack of tatties with him. No, I mean, he just seems to be no way what he opened in the park the way he used to be.
So he got a wee bit of stick on the weekend.
Yes.
That fair?
Listen, I think they conceded, there's a couple of free kicks that he conceded, and then obviously they didn't defend that. Now obviously Robert Nalin was mentioning about the goalkeeper, but I thought the two goals that they scored were absolutely excellent strikes. So you know, you commend them on that, because they've not been known for a lot of goals this season, Livingston. But I think if you go back to the Motherwell game, I think John Souter was kind of culpable for not tracking his runner in the box and not getting enough contact for the equaliser. And was it the next game after that as well? I think he had a hand in, was it the Hearts game? Anyway, I think there was another moment where he didn't defend.
Yeah, Braga sort of bag for that goal, is that the one you mean?
So I would contest that he would be looking to do better there, John Souter, with his physical attributes. But listen, they've seen enough in him that they warranted giving them another year. And I think that's sensible for Rangers as well, because, you know, he has a history of injuries, John. But, you know, I think he's trapped up over the last couple of years and played a decent level of availability for the club. So they've decided to give him another year. But you've got to, I think Rangers defensively this year have been relatively sound. I think Motherwell's, are they leading it now, Gordon, or very close to Rangers?
The goals
against Chart. So I think it's Motherwell, and then I think Rangers are close.
Yeah, no, five. Rangers have conceded five more.
All right, okay. I think that's the last couple of games.
Well, to be fair, yeah, because there'll be two at the weekend.
Yep.
So it's only gone up in the last couple. Tony, I don't think it's always automatic to say, you know, a free week is better than it, because sometimes you can play well midweek, you can win, it can boost confidence, it can boost momentum. But have all of those things been stripped away as possibilities for Celtic because of what we mentioned earlier? You know, let's say they were right in this tie.
Yeah.
Let's say they go and beat Stuttgart and they progress. Everybody's flying. They bounce into Ibrox. They're feeling 10 feet tall. But is it now just an inconvenience and a physical drain?
I wouldn't even say the problem's a European one being over. If Celtic were 3 or 6 points ahead in the league and looking to go out of Europe, they could still use this as a getting players up to speed after the transfer window. The problem is they've not registered Arthur, they've not registered Oxlade-Chamberlain, and they're not sitting in a great spot in the league. So of past years, you would probably find that Celtic were maybe 5-6 points ahead going into this game, and they go, right, we'll throw 3 or 4 players in, we'll get them up to speed, see if they're maybe Adamu or somebody else, who have they signed and registered, Adamu and Shvanchara, and we'll say, right, are they ready to play on Sunday? But now it's almost as if everything's at a negative with Celtic at the moment. Like, they're going to go out, they need to win. I can't remember the last time where Celtic needed to win a game to stay in a title race. Maybe the COVID season, but other than that, they've
was over pretty. Very early, that wasn't it, that one.
Do you think they're about it, Tony? So if they lost at the weekend, do you think they're about the title race? Game in hand?
I think mathematically no, but based on current form, you've got to say yes. I think Hearts are churning away wins. I think Rangers are churning away wins, and I think Celtic, I know they've scored a lot of last minute goals, but that's not sustainable. I think I watched the Dundee United game when Martin Neil came back in, and I thought it was excellent. I thought the football was excellent. They done well against Falkirk as well, but I just feel that Celtic need to win. And by the way, Celtic can win this game. I'm not being negative, and I'm not saying they won't, but I think they need to win it for themselves, or else the confidence will be at a real, real low. And I think everything that's going on in the stadiums, the fans, the reaction last week after the Stuttgart game, I didn't hear it in Sunday, but I heard what went on after the Stuttgart game, booing Schmeichel, which I don't condone. I don't think that's acceptable.
I think you showed your hand in the response earlier, Alex, where you said that even if Celtic lost, you still think, you know, they need to play Rangers, they need to play Hearts. So of course they could win those games, but would the belief still ahead of those games be damaged? Because now I'm trying to count it up in my head. If Celtic lost at the weekend, would that be 2 points out of 18 against Rangers and Hearts this season? That'd be right. This will be the third time they've played Rangers. They only drew one of the games. Yes, they'd have drawn once, lost twice against Hearts. So if they had to lose this weekend, they'd have taken 2 points out of 18 against the two around them.
Yeah.
So the belief that you can then go and beat those teams post-split
potentially
is
diminished a little bit. No, I think it's a good point. I do. And one of the callers made an interesting claim earlier on. I think teams are looking, right, just let's get to the split. As long as we're not tailed off, we can still win it, because obviously you're talking about a group of players in Celtic that have actually got over the course and distance time after time. There's a nucleus there that have actually done that and know what it takes. I've got a manager who knows what it takes. So I just feel as if they can stay into that point. I thought that was a really valid point earlier on. I think because you're going toe-to-toe with them, it doesn't matter what's going on before, but you've still managed to stay in the race. And I think that's where they're going to
brilliant, isn't it, for entertainment. Yeah, it's brilliant. I still think Motherwell, I know everybody says this and it's an easy point to make, Motherwell will have a say in the title, because I don't think all three teams go and beat Motherwell, especially at Fir Park.
Okay, thank you to Robert. Keep your calls coming on 01419511025. Now, we've been promising you all week something big was coming, the Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and now I've got the details. Get your diary out, whether that's paper, whether it's on your phone or whatever. Clear your calendar. Whatever you had on Wednesday the 3rd of June, it cannot possibly be as important as Clyde One Super Scoreboard off air at the Pavilion Theatre in Glasgow, a live show. Just imagine the chance to see Hugh Keevans up there in the flesh, Gordon DL, Marvin Bart, your favourite pundits, plus some special guests as we get ready for the World Cup. We've not quite cleared up the health and safety folks as to whether you can chuck things at Hugh. I'm hoping not for his own safety. But this is the one night you get to hear all the stories that they can't tell on the radio. And I don't know what that will involve, particularly with Gordon DL. But anyway, tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Clyde1.com. You can check out all the details on our socials. It's Super Scoreboard off air at the Pavilion Theatre in Glasgow. The date for your diary is Wednesday the 3rd of June, and we'll take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Super Scoreboard off air is coming soon.
See that? They brought the original tune back for it as well. Just to recap it, it's Wednesday the 3rd of June. The big news we've got for you here at Clyde One Super Scoreboard Towers, we're going live at the Pavilion Theatre in Glasgow, so get that date in the diary, 3rd of June, not long before the World Cup. All your favourite pundits up on the stage for you to give your warmest welcome to, shall we say, as we build up to the World Cup. So it's one night you get to hear all the stories the guys can't mention on air. Everybody very much looking forward to it, and tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Clyde1.com. So check out all the details on our socials there as well. I'm going to get to the phones in just a second. Quickly on this teaser, good one, Joe in Edinburgh, perfect for you too as well. Can you name six former Partick Thistle players who've made more than 40 appearances in more than 40 appearances for, why is it worded like this? Hold on, you think I would practice this before? Six former Partick Thistle players, over 40 appearances for the club, who have made a Scottish Premiership appearance this season. Ah, got you, Joe. That's my fault. Goodness sake, it's been a long day. They've made over 40 appearances for Partick Thistle, and they've played in the Scottish Premiership this season. I've besmirched Joe's good name. Harry Milne, yes. So they've made over 40 appearances for Partick Thistle, and they've played in the Scottish Premiership this season.
Was he on last night?
Gordon Deal.
Brian Graham.
Yes. Take one more guess. No, I'll leave it there. That's fine, no problem. We've got Liam, who's on. He's a Hearts fan. And exciting times today, Liam. Alex Ferguson's in your corner.
That helps, doesn't it? You got heavyweight champion of the world.
Is that going to be the difference maker?
Aye, well, it's like I said, Deld spoke about it last night at an event at Tynecastle, and he said that they've been, you know, he's been getting little nuggets off him over the past 3 or 4 months, just telling them how to, you know, keep the boys on their toes and giving them advice. And I think the players are getting a wee buzz off the fact that he's coming into training saying, you know, I just talked to Sir Alex Ferguson about you, he likes what you do, or all that type of stuff. So any little help that we can get right now is more than welcome.
What did they say at the fan event? Because you might have got more detail than he was willing to divulge to the press.
Loads of stuff. He spoke really candidly, which was great. And the guys, you will know if you've spoke to him, he's such a good talker. I think everybody in the audience would have run through a brick wall for him last night. It's really rare that you get a manager that comes in and talks straight to you, but also talks. He talks so much like a Hearts man, if that makes sense. He just gets. I know loads of, that's a buzzword that loads of football fans throw out all the time, but it genuinely does get us. He's got a bit of swagger about him, and he talks about all the things that we want. Make Tynecastle hospitable, make it a place that we love playing in, that people don't want to play in, use that to our advantage. I've been doing the same as everybody else. I've had the league table at about 90 times in the last week, trying to figure out, right, if they draw here and we win there, and if they score a goal and we score four, where we can potentially pick up points and how many points we could be in front. And then you listen to the manager talk and say, look, just focus on Saturday. Make Saturday a cup final. If we can win on Saturday, we can relax, and then we go for the next game. And you seen on Saturday there, we did our business, and then you put the pressure on Celtic and Rangers the next again day, and both of them buckled.
I liked some of the stuff he was saying about Sir Alex, and he genuinely knows the Hearts players. You know, he's quite invested in it.
Yeah.
He said, you're missing Cammy Devlin, and Derek McInnes said this to Cammy Devlin, who can't believe Sir Alex Ferguson knows who he is. But Derek McInnes has now been using it, saying, yeah, he says you need to pass forward a bit more, you need to shoot from outside the box, and he's just been lying, just making that stuff up.
I love all that.
Hanging on his every word.
That's mental. Obviously, Cammy Devlin will get a boost for that. But going back to his point about McInnes knowing Hearts, I think it's a perfect fit. I do. I think McInnes has been at a level where he's won things. He's been at Aberdeen where he's an underdog. He obviously won a trophy there as well. Obviously, his playing career at Rangers. And his character probably suits Hearts and the way they play football. And I think Tynecastle will be a fortress for as long as Derek McInnes is in charge at Hearts. I think they're in a great place. And if you've got Sir Alex Ferguson's backing, who I'm not surprised he knows all the players, because a guy that was that clued in for how many years, he's obviously got a bit of love for Scottish football as well. The only surprise is that he's not backing Rangers in the race, which I thought he would have.
Well, he's going to Hearts Aberdeen as well at the weekend. He's quite well thought of in the Aberdeen ranks, to say the least. But then again, maybe they're not close enough.
I think he's now living up in Glasgow as well, Sir Alex, and he's taken in a lot of games, and you can't help but invested in this season. It's been tremendous, and you know, it's just old adage, one game at a time. But you've got three games out of the next five before the split are at Tynecastle as well, and it is an extremely, I said that earlier on, they have the top points, they have the best home form of the campaign so far, and then they've also got Kilmarnock and Livingston, and then you were talking about earlier on about the old Astro, you know, yeah, have any bearing on things. So
they're probably the most suited to Astro as well, the way they play, in terms of they're a wee bit more direct, they get a lot of balls in the box, they've got some
I don't know why you just keep teeing me up for this stuff. Motherwell had no problem passing the ball around on that pitch a couple of weeks ago.
What pitch?
Livy.
I think the
that's a different one in terms of how bad Livy were at that moment. Don't get me wrong, Motherwell for me are the best team to watch in the league. I seen Andy say that the weekend, but I mean out of the Celtic, Rangers and Hearts. Okay, I wasn't fair. Putting Motherwell in that. I watched Motherwell
at
Livy.
Neither was I, actually, believe it or not. I just meant more of this kind of the excuse of the Astro.
No, it's not an excuse, but Motherwell are a wee bit of a freak team now in terms of they're doing things that we've never seen outside Celtic and Rangers in terms of like how they're controlling games, how they're dominating. And I watched the Livingston game, but in terms of Celtic Rangers who try and play the ball a wee bit more, Hearts are a bit more direct, probably get a lot more Scottish-based players. I know a couple of them are injured now, that and players who have played in this league for a while that know how to go to their places and win games.
Talk to us about the injuries, Liam, because everybody knows Devlin, Shankland, longer term, big blows. Shankland apparently back 4 games time, I think Derek McKenna said, maybe for the Motherwell game. Cammy Devlin maybe a bit sooner. Beningame and McEntee, 50-50 for today, for the weekend, was the update today. And then the worst news was probably Stuart Finlay out for the next 6 weeks. And Agu, who you've not really had the chance to use him, but he is your record signing. You maybe hoped he would help you in the closing stages. He's out for the season. How damaging could some of that be? Are you confident it's going to be all right?
Well, we've been facing into this since the Celtic game. You know, we had the Benny suspension, we had the Devlin injury, we had the Shankland injury, and we went and get a result with Celtic. So far, so good. We've managed to navigate it. Stuart Finlay's obviously a blow because he carries a threat, but when you look at where we are, with Frankie Kent sitting on the bench, you've got Michael Steinwinder that we're playing as right back and play centre half, you've got Jamie McCart in there to come in as well, who's naturally left footed as well. So as much as a blow to lose Stuart Finlay, I don't think it's going to be a huge gaping hole. And at points in the season, you know, we've had Halkett suspended and someone's slotted in and been okay, so I don't see that being a huge disruptor. The Agu one, he's just going to be, he's the type of boy that just looks like he needs a pre-season to get up to what Derek McInnes wants from him, from fitness-wise, and then to give him a chance to adapt to the game as well. So there they are. Benny, to be honest, for the 7 years he's been at Hearts, this is what happens every 4 games. Benny's out injured, so it's not a huge dent in where we are. Mark Leonard has fitted into that squad brilliantly. So hopefully we've managed to keep the momentum going. That's the most impressive thing about Hearts, is we've had setbacks all season long. You know, when we had the reaction last week to losing at Ibrox, that was supposed to be the derailer, that was season finished, that was the bubble burst, Rangers were going to go flying and Hearts were away. And then a week later, you know, we win the points and Rangers drop points. So we've managed to come over all this adversity and stay in the fight, and we've been waiting for this little stretch. Derek McKenna said be top of the league when Celtic come to Tynecastle. We were. He said be top of the league after the 90 minutes at Ibrox. We were. Now we have 2 back-to-back home games. We get our next 4 are against the bottom 6, and then we've got Motherwell before the split. So you can't ask for being more in control of your own fate.
That's right. No, listen, I was saying that earlier on. I feel as if I agree with a lot of the points as well that you made due to the injury situation, suspensions, and they've coped really well. And I think what that really does highlight is that the actual strength and depth that Hearts have, it's a really strong pool of players that Derek McInnes has called upon. I think Leonard coming in for Cammy Devlin was a masterstroke. And I'll go as far to say as actually Devlin's better at ratting the ball, but I actually feel as if Leonard's actually more kind of...
Yeah.
Technical on the ball, and I think it's a great find, particularly at that stage. You think to yourself, because most people are thinking they're 2 key players, Devlin and Shankland, but by bringing in Leonard and, you know, Harry Milne's playing the best football of his career as well, so they've got guys that are really performing at a good level.
If you flip it as well, imagine going into the split knowing that Cammy Devlin and Shankland are going to be back.
Oh,
it'll feel like 2 new signings, because they are, before they went out, they were probably 2 of the
key players.
Your key players for Hearts, two of the better players in Scottish football. I know Cammy Devlin, people were talking about being player of the year, and then Shanklin's goals and assists and just his brain on the pitch for the Hearts players. He's a captain.
Yeah.
I think that'll be massive for the title race.
Thank you very much to Liam. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. You're not going to be able to take your eyes off it from a Hearts perspective or any other, you suspect, going forward. Let's try Russell on the other line, who's an Aberdeen fan. What was it like last night, Russell? There's not much to shout about. An 0-0 game on a bad pitch. I don't think there were many highlights.
That was a torturous game. Thank God, that could get a football stop.
We should have
got a point taken off of each.
Just blame the pitch, no? Is that not going to wash?
Nah, it was brutal watching. But we're going to have to play for it. That's a sickening thing for both Aberdeen and United at this time of year.
Did you think that before last night? Sorry, Russell. Was that confirmation for you both that Falkirk complete that top six, or did you kind of know that before?
We play Falkirk soon, but I think to get top six, Gordon, we had to beat Dundee at the weekend. I think that bursts us next week. We've got Hearts this weekend. We've got Celtic at Pittodrie coming up. I just don't see us calling back 10 points or 11 points, whatever it is now, in Falkirk.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
The point I was phoning in for is I'm a rare Aberdeen fan that's actually wanting Hearts to win the league this year. And there's a lot of guys in the support who don't want anybody to win it if it's not us. But I think it would be great for Scottish football if Hearts go and win this and put an end to the dominance of the gruesome twosome to Glasgow. And I'm fully behind them. And I think in Derek McInnes, they've got the best manager in the league and a guy that knows the league the best. And the way Dell's thinking right now is it's a 10-game league and he only needs to win 7 of those games and he's going to be the champion. And that's how I think it'll go.
And you obviously used to have Derek McInnes, and you happy to lend Hearts Sir Alex Ferguson as well? Apparently he's pulling for them. You okay with that?
I don't know how I feel about him being in the stand on Saturday right now, but we want Hearts to win. But I think the whole of Scottish football should be pulling for McInnes. And I think if McInnes wins it, it's a bit of a get it round you as well to Rangers, because I know there was chat about him going to Rangers as a manager, but there's been snobbery at Ibrox where they've looked over McInnes in the last 5 years and went for subpar managers. And I'll tell you right now, if McInnes had been in charge of Rangers for the last 5 years, I'm pretty sure he'd have took a couple of titles there, and they've missed the boat no getting him in.
Well, he turned it down as well, to be fair, at one point, didn't he? We are... Scottish football's complicated, but it's also simple. I think Russell's probably stated what everyone thinks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hibs fans, Celtic fans and Rangers fans are the only ones right now who don't want Hearts to win the league.
That's not controversial. I think it's been a brilliant season, Gordon. I think the fact that they've kind of led for such a long time as well, they've had their ups and downs in terms of, you know, the odd result, but in the main I think they've been highly consistent. And I think they've got a manager who is vastly experienced, knows the league inside out. And I think you wouldn't want another manager at this current time running your team, because he's been brilliant. I actually think he's handled the media. If you listen to Rangers and Celtic fans, have also been going, oh, he's a wee bit kind of prickly at times. He's kind of throwing things in. But again, it's kind of trying to get that mentality that Sir Alex had up at Aberdeen. It was us against the rest, type of thing.
He keeps it in the house and he keeps same against everybody else.
He does it very well. The big thing that he did, he missed out there, Russell, and he hit a lot of good points there, was I was going to throw back, he sick that you let him go? You know what I mean? Because he did.
Oh, how do Aberdeen fans feel about Derek McInnes now, Russell?
Well, I think there was stupid Aberdeen fans who didn't want him in the first place because of his connections with Rangers. But I always saw past. I mean, if that was the case, we wouldn't have had Sir Alex and we wouldn't have two European trophies. But I've heard it on good authority that Stuart Milne wanted to bring McInnes back when Jim Goodwin was sacked and Dave Cormack apparently put a blocker on it and McInnes was ready to come back. And if you look at the state of your club, we've turned into a clown show for the last 5 years and sacked a manager every year, I think in January, for the last 4 years. McInnes, we should have brought McInnes back, and I'm actually gutted that we didn't bring him back.
How do you feel at the moment about your managerial search, if you call it that, of the situation, Russell, where Peter Leaven's in, presumably end of the season, Tony Docherty's with him? I think Dave Cormack issued a statement a couple of days ago trying to sort of clear it up. It was a bit more of a kind of holding statement, wasn't it? How do you feel about the way things are at your club at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, we're totally in limbo now, so we're waiting till the summer to get a new manager, which I can understand, because we're not under any threat of relegation. I think we're going to take a good run at the Scottish Cup. I got my tickets for Dunfermline today. We're taking 3,500 fans to Dunfermline next week.
So everything for us is going to be in the Scottish Cup and try to retain that trophy. But I think if we wait till the summer, that's not a bad thing as long as you get the right guy. But who the right guy is, I'm not even sure. If we're picking guys from Scandinavia or in Germany or elsewhere in Europe, then these guys don't know the league and you get a bit of uncertainty. But at the same time, I didn't want the same run-of-the-mill names as Scottish football getting put forward to the Aberdeen job either. So it is a tough one. I would actually like to have seen, when Tony Dock came back, I thought that was a great appointment. Surprised he didn't go with Dell at some point back to Hearts this year. But I think we should have put Tony Dock in charge and let Peter Leaven step back until the summer.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. Thank you very much to Russell in Aberdeen. You almost forget that managerial search is going on at the moment. But thank you to Russell. Torturous is how he described Dundee United Aberdeen last night. Quickly, Joe in Edinburgh sent a good question, which I made a pig's ear of reading. Six former Partick Thistle players with over 40 appearances for the club who've played in the Scottish Premiership this season. You got Brian Graham and Harry Millen.
Spittle.
Yep. Hearts, 97 Thistle appearances.
Big guy, you got in?
Tiffany.
Yes, we'll get the remaining two when we return.
You're good, by the way.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've got Alex Ray and Tony Watt in the studio, and I'm pleased to say we've got a very, very special guest joining us on the show. A man whose feet are probably sore already, but no sore as they're going to be by the end. It's Craig Ferguson, the Scotland fan who is walking from LA to Boston for the World Cup. So much so that he started already, in case you hadn't noticed, because that's how long it's going to take. Tony Watt's pointing at his feet. He wants to sell you some socks.
No, free. We can get
Craig them
for
Ferguson,
free.
How are you? Good to have you on the show.
I'm very well, thank you so much for having me. It's a beautiful day over here in LA. I'm not too sure what the weather's back home, but I'm wrapping it up.
Rotten, obviously, brilliant, as always. So 3,000 miles. How many miles in are you?
Yeah, so I've done about 1% of that, or 10%. I'm currently about 30 miles in. But, you know, it's been an incredible first day. Getting going again on the second day here. But it's just so nice to get back out on the road. And as you said, this is nothing for what I've got lying ahead.
Incredible. Now, it's all to raise vital funds for Sam H, providing mental health support hubs all across Scotland. You're trying to raise £1 million as well. So, you know, there's a big undertaking that you're going for with your feet and with your charitable ambitions there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the target's ambitious. You know, £1 million is a lot of money, but I really do believe, you know, if all of Scotland gets behind this, if we get America on side, then anything's possible with this challenge. You know, £1 million is a huge amount of money, but the challenge is a huge amount of miles, so I felt like it was only fitting to match the ambitious target with the ambitious feat of walking.
Remind us, because everybody who listens to the show will remember you walked to the Euros. We were there to greet you in Munich when you arrived. We had you on the show a couple of times, so that was obviously where all this started. How far was that, and what made you believe you could scale it up to the extent that you have? Because it's quite a big ask.
Yeah, absolutely. So last time I think I was speaking to you guys, we were sat in a pub in Stuttgart before that match against Hungary. And yeah, that was because I had done the walk between Glasgow, the steps at Hampden, and set off all the way to Munich in Germany. Now that challenge was around 1,000 miles, and this obviously is around the 3,000 mile mark, so it's about three times that. You know, this is unlike anything that I've ever done. Central Europe is all pretty similar as well, and America's a different beast entirely. You know, the different terrains, the different weathers that we're going to come across, I think that we'll truly see it all along the way. But you know, I'm ready for whatever comes up along the way. Just got to take it in our stride.
I know you're from Paisley, but it's the different people I'm worried about as you get to certain bits of LA and work your way across. You get a security guard with you?
Yeah, well, I do, to be fair. My big friend Matthew, he's driving the support van, and he's about 6'8", so I'm hoping that the sight of him and the kilt warns off a couple of dodgy LAers. But no, everyone's been amazing we've met so far. You know, so many compliments to the kilt and asking what we're doing, so the interest is definitely there, and I'm hoping that it continues all across the country.
Brilliant. Logistically then, it says a lot that I'm worried about the planning of this rather than the actual walking. So in terms of like a route, how did you come up with that? Are you just picking a straight line from one side of America to the other? Talk to us a little bit about what you're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, the planning stage I actually find quite fun. Like, you go through the different risk assessments, all the things that kind of could go wrong, and I weirdly sit with a smile on my face like, oh, this all sounds exciting. But the planning started all the way back from as soon as the first night where we found out that it was going to be Boston that Scotland were playing. The route is obviously made to make sure that we're kind of going across, one, a couple of key landmarks, things that we want to see along the way, and then two, what's actually going to be a viable route and the easiest way to get there. So there's been lots of planning. We've got teams that are working hard and making sure that I'm safe throughout it. But like you said, we might encounter different things. Bears, snakes, who knows, but bring it on.
What are you looking forward to seeing then? What was in your mind that you wanted to tick off as you make your way? I noticed you started in Santa Monica Pier, one of my favourite spots in the world. That was a brilliant location, very picturesque for you. What's what you got kind of coming up?
I'm really looking forward to getting out of the sort of temperate desert areas and in a sort of Colorado. So I think that'll be really, really nice. It's kind of cowboy territory there, so lots of nice forests, lakes and stuff, and I think that'll be a nice change of scenery. At the moment, that's about as far as I can see myself, because it's so, so far, and I don't want to plan, you know, too far in advance. Mm-hmm. So Colorado, I think when I get there, I'll then be like, right, what's next? And then we've got over to the East Coast to be excited for. But I'm looking forward to that for now.
And it's, you know, it's because it's such a big challenge. You've had quite a lot going on before you even left, quite a lot of support. And you've been rubbing shoulders with the First Minister and some of the great and good of Scottish popular culture. You came out onto the pitch at halftime at the weekend. You're doing such a good thing that I won't criticise you as a St Mirren fan and slag you for the result in Paisley on Saturday night. But, you know, what's that been like? All quite overwhelming so far?
It's been overwhelming, but it's been in the best way possible. You know, knowing that, you know, while I'm now out here in America, but knowing that we've got the whole of Scotland behind it and all these different things, like you said, in the build-up, I was just so humbled every single time I was at one of these events and looking out at the faces in the room and thinking, God, from when this first started, being a 20-year-old boy who quit his job and packed an overly heavy backpack and set out to Munich, and now, you know, planning something so ambitious this time and having all the support, it just makes it feel that much more achievable and so much more sort of motivating knowing that you've got everyone behind you. So it's been surreal, but in the best way possible.
And talk to us about the real reason that you're doing it, to raise funds for Sam H. Just talk to us about why and what the aim is and why that's such a good cause.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think that everyone in Scotland especially will probably be aware and can, you know, point out the fact that Scotland's in a bit of a mental health crisis at the moment. I think if I'm able to sort of create a little bit of positivity during these challenges, if at least one person even looks at this and thinks, you know, I was in a really bad place and watching that challenge, you know, really inspired me or gave me a wee bit of motivation to go out and speak to someone or get help. I kind of want to showcase the people that it doesn't really matter who you are or what you do or where you come from. You know, there's some daft Scottish man out there willing to walk 3,000 miles to kind of show to them that they're not in it alone. And that's kind of the main ambition with it all.
Brilliant. And is it all perfectly to align Boston on what, the day of the game, a couple of days before? What's your plan? Or am I don't want to make you to commit to
it. Day before, all going to plan. So I believe that will be the 12th of June, because it's the 13th over in America. So 12th of June, if all goes to plan. But yeah, again, we'll need to see along the way. But I'm confident we'll be there in time, and I'll hopefully see you guys on the other end again.
Brilliant. We have done a great job already. Keep it going. And we've put it up on the screen there. If everyone wants to donate to the tartantrek.co.uk, you can find it there. £1 million is a target. It's a big target. It's ambitious. So Craig needs your help. And fair to say, he is putting in the mile. So well done. Stay safe. We'll catch up soon.
Cheers.
Good man. How good is that? 3,000 miles.
It's incredible. See, when you think about it, he's doing 30 miles a day then.
You were bragging you walked from Duke Street to City Centre one time.
See, he was talking about snakes and crocodiles. There, I thought he was talking about Paisley for a minute. But no, I think it's incredible what he's doing. It's, you know, obviously, Sam H. Day, some great mental health stuff, addiction and just general kind of well-being. To go and raise £1 million potentially is just incredible. More importantly as well, what it does is it raises the
awareness,
profile of a mental health here.
Some undertaking, isn't it? 3,000 miles.
I know, and the conditions over there won't be easy for him either. And no, it's good. Hopefully everybody rallies around him and donates. And I'm sure me and Al will be making a wee donation after. I'll push into that, for all the money you've got.
Celery socks.
Might as well be going for Poor Essentials right enough. No, it's a...
He's no dafty. Charitable donation for the company.
Write it off for the accountant. No, but look, it's amazing. See, if you can do one thing to help somebody else and that's helping a whole group, and if he can get that number, then he gets a knighthood. That's it.
Brilliant. There we go. What a finish to the show that is. Let's quickly recap that teaser for you before we go.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Mr and Mr Partick Thistle, six former Thistle players, over 40 appearances for the club. They've played in the Premiership this season. Brian Graham, Harry Milne, Blair Spittle, Scott Tiffany.
Stephen O'Donnell.
Yes. Last one.
I'm between two.
Go for it.
Nisbet.
No.
Paul McGinn.
No.
Oh, done.
Lewis Mayo's 38, it's not him. Danny Mullen, 35, not him. He's at Falkirk and he had 43 Thistle appearances. I think he's on loan at Falkirk from Hearts still, or is that a permanent thing? I think
Lewis
Neils.
Lewis Neils. Did he have 43 appearances?
Apparently so.
There you go. Good shout.
Oh,
there you go. Thank you very much to Tony Watt and Alex Ray, and thank you for all your calls. It's a big night in a way. It's an interesting night for Celtic in Europe tomorrow, so make sure you join us. It's the early kickoff as well. So Gordon Diehl will be here, and we'll see what's happening on the field in Stuttgart and build up to the weekend. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.